1 Corinthians chapter 13. Sure, it's wonderful hanging around, and I think there's a blessing that comes with longevity in ministry. You watch these young people grow up around here, and I can remember them kids being carried in. I mean, just little kids, and they're up here singing. 2014, I was going back because I was trying to find a picture from our first trip out to the Indian Reservation, and I found a picture of Ella, and she was probably about the same size as Clara is today, and so I found that picture and sent it to her and said, is this little brat really getting married? And I scrolled down a couple pictures, and there was this goofball little kid, Nathaniel, that was on that trip too, sent that picture. I said, what in the world's going on here, you know? But I mean this, one of the joys of ministry, and I know it's just not the preacher that enjoys it. If you're part of a church family, you just love watching young people grow up. Brother Young, I was out of town, couldn't come, go, but he went up to Dylan's, Castle's wedding this past week, and I told him thank you for doing that. And I know that he doesn't attend our church, but he came to our school, and you know what, here's a school teacher that cared about him, made the trip all the way up to Kokomo, walked in, and you know, it's fun to see him come to the school, set the right example. He's such a good kid, went to Bible college, did right, met a good girl, getting married. And you know, folks, if you just stick in this thing long enough, stay with it, it's just wonderful to see the blessings of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, very familiar chapter, wonderful chapter. I'm going to draw your attention when we get there. We'll go ahead and read the whole chapter. But, you know, the word greatest is found in the very last verse. And we're going to preach on the greatest attribute of all, the greatest attribute of all. We'll begin in verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, as we just take a look at this chapter and especially this last verse. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to never forget, never get over the great love that you had for us. And Lord, if we can somehow find a way to get ourselves out of the way, then it's amazing to see a surrendered Christian that allows the love of God to flow to them and then through them, and Lord, the effect that that has in love, in loving and affecting people's lives. So Lord, since you said it's the greatest, we're gonna take an evening tonight, we're gonna take a message, and we're gonna just kind of put this attribute up on a pedestal, the same pedestal you placed it on. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to understand and remember that the greatest of all the attributes is love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, folks. Thank you for standing. This 13th verse presents three contenders for the greatest of all attributes. Now think about that. These three are faith, hope, and charity. Now, to be listed in the top three is quite an accomplishment in itself. They beat out joy. Think about this. They beat out peace. They beat out long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, kindness. We talked about kindness this morning. Humbleness of mind, righteousness, godliness, patience, diligence, and virtue. And by the way, I wouldn't diminish any of them. I think they're all godly attributes, and all of them we ought to aspire to. But God elevates these three above all else, and then he proclaims one attribute as the greatest of all. I think that ought to catch our attention tonight. I want to preach on this subject, the greatest attribute of all. And for the most part, God does not address the concept of greatness or the subject of greatest very often in the Bible at all. In fact, I've studied this word out in all of its forms all through the Bible. It's been about a year ago that I did that. And you know what I found out? That the word great is most attached, and rightfully so, to our Creator, to our Almighty Father, to God. And if when you go talking about and throwing around the word greater, greatest, you know, I think we ought to all just remember that, you know, God alone is great. God alone is great. Let's keep him at the top of that. When someone asked Jesus Christ, who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, I think that he helped us all to be reminded of the humility that we ought to have, because then Jesus took a child, the Bible says in Luke chapter 9, and set him by him and said, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great." And you know, I think mankind, it seems like, is just constantly on a pursuit of this title of greatness. And yet when Jesus was asked about it, he just took a little child and said, "Hey, let's just love people. Let's just care about people. Let's just be a servant." When he overheard his disciples disputing amongst themselves which of them was the greatest of his disciples, Mark chapter 9, verse 23 through 25, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves, by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be greatest. You know what that means? They were embarrassed about it. They didn't want to tell him what they were arguing about. But he knew, and he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." And so, you know what, folks, can I just say you this? The world may clamor for that. They may put all bunch of time and effort to try to be the top of some podium, but you know what? The person who goes around and shuts the lights out after church, or the person who notices that there's a mess somewhere and just goes and gets a vacuum cleaner and cleans it up. You know what? I always say extra blessings to, and I know Brother Dave Liffick does this a lot, extra blessings to the person who runs by the nursery and picks up the care package at the end of every nursery session and sees to it that it gets to the dumpster. I really mean this, folks. You know, a lot of times people will think of a pastor when they think the success of a church, but I don't think of a pastor. I think of servants. That's what I think, because that's what Jesus taught us. When it comes to divine attributes, God declares a clear champion among the list of Christian virtues. When it comes to divine attributes, he is not afraid to attach the little title of greatest of these to one in particular. Now, before we, I think, can understand, we might want to just take a moment and consider the two contenders, because, folks, think about this, the importance of faith and how many times faith is mentioned in the Bible. You know, when we study faith, boy, that's another study. I'll tell you what, faith's important. We think about the power of faith in Matthew 17, where he says to his disciples, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." And I think about the great power of just even a little mustard seed of faith. Then we study in the word faith, and you'll find the necessity of faith. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And a very common and I think well-known verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. Think about the necessity of faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. Necessity of faith is necessary in salvation. It's necessary if we're going to successfully live the Christian life. And what I'm doing is I'm putting faith up on as high as I can get it here. But wait a minute, in a minute, we're going to find out that God put something a little bit higher. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, when it's talking about all of the pieces of armor, there's only one above all piece. And in Ephesians 6, 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we think the power of faith, the necessity of faith, the importance of faith. Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Look right up here. You want to please the Lord? You want to please the Lord this week? It's impossible, God says, absent of faith. To please the Lord, it is impossible without faith. So listen, when we say faith, hope, and charity, I want you to understand the other contenders. You know, God picks some pretty important things here. I think about hope and that word hope there in the Bible. And if you study the word hope, we've kind of changed the usage of it some in the English language. But the word hope, as it's used in the Bible, is really talking about a confidence. You know, that blessed confidence. Amen. The blessed hope is the blessed confidence. We don't hope like, gee, I hope Jesus is coming. I hope that really is real. No, we have a blessed confidence that he's coming. And so we think about the security of hope. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Which hope or confidence that we have as an anchor of our soul. Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And the word hope there is likened to an anchor for the soul. So the security of hope. We talk often here about the blessed hope or the blessedness of hope. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The peace and protection that comes through hope. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope or the confidence of salvation. So I don't spend time preaching three different messages, but I just wanted to mention a little bit about faith. I mean, we're talking about these three things, folks. All of them should, and I believe do, contend for the greatest of all. But wait a minute. God says very clearly in verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these things. But hey, let's be reminded tonight, the greatest of these is charity. So let me talk to you a little bit about that. That word charity, if you look it up in the Greek, it's the word agape. And then that same word is oftentimes translated love in the New Testament. And so what God is saying here is this. And by the way, I'll just say this about the word agape. That's not the word love that the world uses. This is a different kind of love. This is a love that is God-produced and God. This is a love that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. It can only really be experienced and shared when we decide that we're going to fully surrender to the Holy Spirit of God and fully be filled with the Spirit of God. We can try to produce it in the flesh and it'll just be, I'm sorry, a cheapened version of what God really wants us to be able to have to use when we deal with other people. And so love is an amazing thing. And love is a powerful thing. And love, let me just start by saying this, is a supernatural thing. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And you think about how God equates himself with love. I say that there's a lot of descriptions in the Bible about love, but there's only one definition, and here it is, God is love. And that's that same word, agape. So this type of love is the same love that God had for us. And to think that we would be able to be used of God to share that level of love, that type of love with other people, it's a supernatural thing. What I'm saying is this, you know what? This kind of a love that it's talking about in this chapter is impossible for us to have and to use and to share without having a close, surrendered relationship with God. This is a God-produced love. It is the love of God flowing through us to other people. And there's no way in the world lost people or the world can reproduce this type of love. 1 John 4:16, for we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Doesn't sound like to me that, you know what, we're gonna be able to produce this type of love that it's talking about in 1 Corinthians 13 if we don't have a close relationship with the Lord. And so no more mortal man, think about that, is more godly, more close to the divine when he allows the love of God to flow through him to another mortal man. And so we have an opportunity and access, once we receive Christ as our Savior, we have an opportunity, we have access to this kind of love with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, listen to me. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. You know, when I went off to study for ministry, and I've told this story a few times, but I've been preaching for 40 years. There's not any story that I haven't told a few times by now. But I think some stories are worth repeating because they're so pivotal. This particular story is so pivotal in God developing me as a Christian. But I often say, when I went to Bible college, I joined the Fisherman's Club, and for the first couple of years, I went with a trainer, and he trained me to be a better soul winner. And then after I'd been in it for a little while, they made me a trainer, and I had the privilege and opportunity to train some other young men coming into the college to be soul winners. And you know, I needed that. It was very important. But you know what? I say this, the college classes, and even a lot of the soul winning training was good because it trained my head, but I'll tell you, there's nothing that trained my heart more than the bus ministry. And thank God for you folks that work in the bus ministry. And I can remember being assigned to a bus captain. I worked under him, and I learned again a lot of the tools of the trade. But I still hadn't learned the most important lesson. And then when they made me a bus captain, the very first week I was a bus captain, Brother Darrell Moore, the division leader of the that was over me as a bus captain, he said, let me go visiting with you. I want to introduce you to some of the kids that we're getting ready to hand over to you on this route. Brother Moore had been the captain of some of these kids in the past. And so I tell how we went four blocks down Holman Avenue. I could take you right to the street. I could walk those four blocks with you. By the way, I think I could point to almost every house where we used to pull kids out of and tell you their names and a little bit about their family. But he took me through there and he introduced me to these kids. And there was probably about 8 or 9 families. And it took us about 2 hours. Brother Moore went to every single house. And he, by the way, Darrell Moore that I'm telling you about, I should probably have already mentioned this. Some of you might know who he is. Some I know the Waltons know who he is. But, he's not well right now. And probably barring the Lord doing something supernatural, he may not be with us much longer. But I went with that man, and I watched him interact with those families. I watched him come to the door. I watched him get down on his knees and talk eyeball to eyeball with the kids. I watched him talk to the mothers and the fathers in those homes. I watched him pray with them. I watched in every single house as he prayed, he would weep tears over these people. And I watched this something that he had. Are you listening to me? This something that he had. And I didn't get about halfway through that process and I realized, okay, I know a lot of the how-tos. Folks, listen to me. You can have a lot of the how-tos done and not have the greatest of all attributes. You know, knowledge just puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up. And you know, I watched him for about 2 hours. And at the end of that, he turned around, looked at me and wiped the tears and said, Ross, you make sure you take care of them kids. And he turned around. I can see him. Brother Moore had a very distinct way that he walked. And I can still see him walking away from me. And all of a sudden, I sat there and watched him as he walked about a block. And I went down and found a little basement area going into a third store basement kind of stairs and went down an apartment building. No one was living down there. It was an abandoned building and had broken glass and dirt. I cleared off a spot down there. and got on my face and said, God, I don't even know for sure what I just saw. I just know this. I don't have that.
Right. That's good.
I don't have that.
Right.
And folks, listen to me. If we don't get that, okay, you know what? Those first three verses warn us about, you know what? Think about 1 Corinthians 13. We can have the tongues of men and angels. Have not charity. What's the Bible say? We just become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And after a while, that's just irritating. Those kind of sounds just are irritating, you know. And although I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. You know, super spiritual. Watch this, but have not charity. I am nothing. I see people that I think are very spiritual people, but they haven't figured out love. You think about that. It amounts to nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Listen, what I'm saying is this. God put this thing on the top of the podium for a minute, or for a reason.
Amen.
And folks, listen to me. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Sunday school teachers, I got to ask you something. Do you love those kids? I mean, agape love, God-like love, because they deserve it. Nursery workers, you love those babies back there? Is it just a job, or do you have an agape, God-like love for every single child that's handed through that half door back there? Do you have that? Because you know what? If we don't have that, we're not making a difference. Are you listening to them? Come on, school staff. I need monitors with this level of love. I need teachers with this level of love. I know we've got a principal with this level of love. You know, are you listening to me? You know, if we're going to help our teens, we got to love them. I said, we got to love them. Anybody awake tonight? I say, we got to love them.
Yes.
I'm sorry to wake you up from your nap, but this is kind of important.
Amen.
Okay. Bus workers, you know what? You know, you got to love them. Okay. Sunday school teacher, you just got a whole new crop. Have you fallen in love with them yet? Do you pray over them? Do you cry over them? Do you weep over them? Is this just a job? Because you see, folks, if we don't get baptized with this level of love, we're never going to have the effect that we need to have when it comes to interacting with other people. Brother Nichols went with me, him and Tabitha, and they brought little Colton with them on this trip. I wanted to take him I told him this a year ago. I said, when I go next year, I want you to come with me. And he did the preaching in the afternoon, and I did the preaching in the evening. And of course, first time on the reservation, I could tell he was a little nervous. Taps was a little nervous, and he's asked me about their culture and asking me about different things. And I said, and he said, you know, you got any advice for me? And look at me. You know what I told him? Just love them. If you love them, you'll be fine. If you love them, they'll know it. You know what? Everything else will take care of itself if you love them. They'll figure it out real quick. And by the way, people will figure out real quick if you don't love them.
Yes.
And so think about this. You know, love is the greatest of all because it's supernatural. Folks, we cannot produce this without having a strong relationship with the Lord. It was for God so loved the world that he gave. And you know, that God-like love, when it flows through us, we always have the desire to give, to give, to give, to give, to give. We don't have a problem giving. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God didn't send Jesus to die for us because we loved him first. We only love him because he first loved us. It initiates the relationship. It doesn't wait for someone else to love me so that I'll start loving them. It's I'm going to love them even if they don't love me. I'm going to love them even if they're unlovable. That's the kind of love we're talking about. John 13:34, this is what Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Folks, I'm just going to tell you something. That's impossible without a connection with the Lord, without a strong connection with God. I talked about the book of Galatians in chapter 5, but brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled, get this, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So love, I believe, is the greatest because it's supernatural. This type of love that I'm talking about is only and can only be produced as we allow God to love us, fill us with that love, and then channel His love. Listen, you know what people need to feel? The love of God through you. God's love channeling through you. And so I'm kind of putting it up on the pedestal tonight because I think that's what God did. So love, think about this, love, it wins in people's lives because it is supernatural. No mortal man, think about this, is more ungodly, more further from the divine than when he selfishly harbors love instead of offering it to others, lavishing it upon himself instead of someone else. And we won't go into that, but you know that in the last days, folks, how many times you hear your preachers warned against this? Perilous time shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own self. And folks, listen to me. Every single one of us, we've received the love of God. Yes. How terrible for us to harbor that and then to pervert that and lavish it upon ourselves when we're supposed to channel that and use it to touch other people's life. And so it's the greatest attribute of all because it's supernatural. Love is the greatest attribute of all because it works. It works. It's incredible to watch the effect of God's love being channeled through you and how it affects other people. When we see the attributes here and the descriptive words that are connected, verse 4 through 7, let's just kind of glance down there. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, love never faileth. Now, folks, faith is somewhat abstract. Think about this. God gave us detailed specifics connected with love, detailed attributes of this attribute. Faith is somewhat abstract. I think hope is by definition almost intangible. But love is very specific in that you can identify it by its actions. When you are patient, then you are loving someone. When you are kind, you are loving someone. We hit kindness this morning, needed to. When you are content, you are loving someone. When you are humble, you're loving someone. When you're appropriate, you're loving someone. When you're trusting, you're loving someone. When you joyfully embrace truth, you're loving them. When you are willing to bear, believe, hope, endure in a world where people surrender, lose faith, lose heart, quit, then you're exhibiting the kind of love that Jesus Christ displayed to us when he carried that cross up Golgotha's hill. You think about the people that really had an effect in your life. You know what, folks? You knew that they loved you. Why? Because they were patient with you. Why? Because they were kind to you. Why? Because they were content. You know, mom's love is a pretty special thing. Hey, young people, let's not forget that. Young people and old people, let's not forget that. I think a mother's love is amazing. I've watched how many times my wife was full and didn't want any more seconds so that the kids could have seconds. Wonder how many times when kids sometimes were fighting for an extra piece of cake, Cheryl really didn't feel like dessert and just made sure that the kids were taken care of. You know what that is? That's love. That's God's love. I'm good. I'm content. I'm not worried about me. I'm happier seeing that the needs of my family is met than I am. Come on. I think all of us men ought to take a look at a mother's love, put it under the microscope, and I think, you know what we'd find? A lot of the love of God in that mother's love. You think about that, the humility that comes. And people that you knew loved you, appropriate and trusting. You know, this, and that doesn't matter, but, I will tell you, the time that I spent in Chicago, God taught me how to love people. He just taught me how to love. You know, when I got down on my knees and said, God, I don't know what that was I just saw, but all I know is I don't have it and I need it. Yeah, and by the way, I want you to just say this. I never talk on this subject without saying, don't ask to learn how to love people unless you're serious about it. Because you know what? God may have to take you through some things to teach you that kind of love. And the honest truth is, he had to break my pride and he had to break my heart. And I think that broken people tend to learn how to love like Jesus loves. And you know what? That means if you say, Lord, I want to be able to affect people's life with that kind of love, and you ask for it, then probably God's going to have to do some things to break you and to break your heart a little bit so that you can learn to love like he loves. But, you know, I had a guy that I went to Bible college with, and he, I guess 2 or 3 years ago, he called me. And we've got some adult kids in ministry. We've got some adult kids that still go to the bus kids that still go to the church. I mentioned a couple of them this morning. I laugh now because it seems like all my bus kids when I was in college are grandparents now. So I don't know what that means. It's not good for me, though. But when you think about it, I was there when I was 21, 22, and I looked at all these kids as kids, but a lot of the kids we worked with weren't that much younger than us, 15, 16, 17. So I guess I shouldn't be that surprised that they're about the same time of life. But I had a friend of mine that I went to college with, and he sent me a nice text. And he said, I got to wondering about you. He said, Brother Jerry, whether you know it or not, your name is still spoken around here a lot. And he said, there's some people that you left behind that still love you a lot. And he said, I knew 3 of them that go to the church here, so I just decided separately to go to them and say, okay, come on, as you were going up through, attending church, Brother Jerry was only here for so many years, and so you had other bus captains, and so what was it about him? How did he have the effect he had in your life? And he said, I went to the first one and I asked her that question. And she just looked at me and thought for a minute. And she went like this and just said, he loved us. He loved us. He said, I went to a young man, still in the church here. And by that young man did a stint as a deacon in the church for a while. And one of my bus kids, And he said, I went to him and I asked him the same question. And he said, oh, Brother Jerry, man, he loved us. Are we hearing this, folks? Are we hearing this? Listen, I'm all for convictions. I'm all for standards. We're not backing down on any of that. But, we can even speak the truth. And we read that this morning. You can even learn to speak the truth in love. Yes. The truth can be spoken in love. And so he went to the third one. And he said, I'm surely going to get a different answer. And she just smiled at him sweetly and said, well, him and Miss Cheryl just loved us. Hey, listen, let's start there. Okay, I know there's a lot of other attributes we need. Faith, let's not diminish faith. Let's exalt it the way God exalts. But how about if we just use love as the starting place? Okay, and just ask God to give us that supernatural love. You see, folks, love really does work. It still works in the family. Dads, listen to me. It works with your kids. It works with your wife. Love still works. It works in a church. It works in winning the lost to Jesus Christ. You're going to have a better chance winning people to Christ when you can walk up to complete strangers and you can love them and you've never met them before. And that's impossible for Jerry Ross to do or anybody else in our own humanity. But it's crazy when we really get clean. Come on, how can we be filled with the Spirit of God if we're so full of ourselves and sin? So let's get clean of sin, empty of self. Fill me, Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit, and the very first one listed is love. And think about that. And it's pretty awesome when you just meet somebody you never met before, and you don't even know how to explain it, but you love them. And you don't want to see them go to hell. And love works. It works. It works. And so, you know what, folks? Let's take these attributes and let's just live them out. Lord, I want to be more patient. I want to be kinder. And I want to be content. I want to be humble. Well, you can't conjure them up. It's not an act of the will. It's an act of surrender. Right. Lord, I can't be all these things. But if I just surrender and allow myself to be a conduit, you are all these things. And so love me and then love through me and help me to give everyone else the same kindness and consideration that you have always offered to me. And so, folks, it's the greatest for a number of reasons. You know what? Love, it is supernatural. Love works. I'm telling you, love works. Love works. Love works. Number three, love, I believe, is the greatest attribute because it endures. And I love that last phrase there in the description in verse number 8. Charity never faileth, never faileth. Love is the only one of the three that will make it to heaven. Think about this. Of the three that I mentioned, love is the only one of the three that will make it to heaven. Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, once we're in heaven, there'll be no need for faith. Okay, because we're going to see it all with our eyes. You think that once we're in heaven, there'll be no more need for the blessed hope. That'll be behind us. But once we're in love, we're going to find out that love still exists through all the ages. That's why he said, you know, charity never faileth, never faileth. And maybe that's why God put it on a pedestal. Well, we're getting ready to go into a summertime. And, you know, ministry becomes a little more difficult in the summertime. Come on. And, you know, we're going to be in and out a little bit. Everybody will. I want you to get away on vacation and do what you need to do and all of that. But to Sunday school teachers, if you miss a Sunday or two, I hope that you think of your kids, and I hope that you miss them. But bus captains and workers, you know, everybody needs a break, and I'm all for somebody getting away. But I hope that there's just a little part of you that wakes up on vacation on a Sunday morning and just say, well, I hope so-and-so comes, and I hope so-and-so's okay, and I hope that so-and-so, you know, I hope the devil hasn't drug him down this summer. I just think, you know, Brother Young, we're not in school, but I and you know what, our teachers and all of the workers that put in so many hours, I'm glad you got summer break. And by the way, I see it in Brother Young. He enjoys it for about 3 weeks, and then I start seeing him get a little antsy, you know, and probably Mrs. Young's already tired of hearing about what he's going to do next year in school. And can we just have the summer? You know why? Because that's what you love. That's what you love. Sunday school teachers, did the teacher that just gave you those kids love them? Then it would be pretty terrible if they went into a class where they didn't get that same love. You know, I've watched love take about 7 or 8 children, and by the time they pass them to the next class, they're 17 and 18 children. I think I've watched sometimes an absence of love take 17, 18 children and get it back down to 7 to pass the next one. You know, I was thinking of this morning. Bus workers, come on. You earn special rewards in heaven. But, you know, when I walked out this morning, walked out of my house about 7 o'clock to get in the vehicle and drive over here, and I walked out. As soon as I walked out, I mean, literally, it's like, you know, that's how it usually feels at the end of church, and I felt like it was already there by morning. The heat, the humidity. You know what? And then I come to church and I watch all these kids walk in the door. I think, what would possess them? Think about this. What would possess them to get up on a hot, humid day when they know they're going to get in a hot, humid bus and drive all the way around, pick everybody else up, and that hot, come on, you can put all the windows down you want to, you're just blowing in more hot air. Any of our buses air conditioned? Do we have an air conditioned bus?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Wait, who has it though? I want to know.
I'll tell you who it's not.
Okay. No jealousy and no bitterness, I can tell. No, no.
I'm so glad for that bus.
Wait a minute. It's about to ruin my entire illustration here because I go, wait a minute, are we bringing kids out on air conditioned buses? Because. You know, I used to sit there and wonder, what in the world gets these kids out of bed in Chicago when their mom and dad don't even get out of bed? What causes them to get up, get themselves dressed? What causes them to stand outside, come on, in a Chicago winter? And I come around the corner and they're standing out on the street and it's, you know what, 4 degrees with about a 20 degree wind chill and they are looking for the bus to come. Amen. Folks, listen to me. Love. Love. Hey, you know, preacher preached kind of hard this morning, didn't I? You know how it takes care of all that ugly stuff? You know how to get rid of all that ugly stuff? Love people. If you love people, you won't be involved in any of those things I had to hit this morning. You won't. And if you don't love people, that ought to be a good indication that you don't. But you know, if you just care about people, just between this Sunday and next Sunday, maybe we all just Kind of like the preacher did. By the way, you don't just get down on your knees one time and you don't have to ask for it again. You know what? The world tries to steal your love. Sometimes you get hurt loving people and you say, you know what? I think I'll withhold my love. And then God has to remind you, you're not going to be like me if you minister that way. You got to give it all. You got to give your heart. You got to give it all. Maybe between now and next Sunday, we ought to just say, Lord, I just by next Sunday morning. By the way, maybe we're all there. I don't know. But maybe by next Sunday morning, Lord, I could just walk in a church and just look around at every person and love them the way that you love them. I just stand back there in the foyer and watch all these kids unload and come barreling up the steps and just sit there and look at them and love them the way you love them. Lord, if I could just go about on my operation occupation or my bus visitation, knock on doors and just look at people and love them the way you love them. Lord, if I could get a little bit of that, a little anointing of that, maybe I could really make a difference for the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great love for us. We wouldn't know anything about this. We would not be able to reproduce this in our own power. Thank you for, first of all, offering it to us and then offering to channel it through us. And so, Lord, we can't fake this. This isn't a fake thing. There's no way we can pretend and no way we can act it out. Lord, it has to come through you and then through us to others. And so, Lord, may we learn to love each other. Lord, I pray, dear God, that this whole week we'd think about it. Lord, I pray that us husbands would take the lead in this. Help us to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And that wives would love their husband with an agape level love. The children, we'd love our children. Help us, Lord, to start at home on this. And Lord, if we've gotten a little bitter against our children, a little short with our children, a little impatient with our children, a little frustrated with our children, I just pray, Lord, you'd help us to find that quiet place and just say, God, just help me to look at them like you look at them and love them like you love them. And I pray, dear God, in ministry, in the church house, that this would be a place that's baptized and anointed with the love of God. I pray for Sunday school teachers and bus workers. And Lord, I pray for those that work with our youth and our teens. And Lord, I pray for all of us, dear God, as we interact one with another. May we, Lord, be baptized, anointed with the sweet love of God. Lord, bless our invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name.